continue on that book for the next few messages that I will be speaking on. So we will go to Isaiah. While I was preparing, and lo and behold, Thomas Rajan comes to chapter 6 2 weeks ago and takes the subject. I said, uh-oh, is he going to go to book of Isaiah? Then I may have to change. Well, there is plenty in there, 66 chapters. So there is only one taken so far. So we will continue from the book of Isaiah. If you looked at the history of the church from the first century until today, it will be safe to say that the church has moved further and further and further away. And when I say church, I'm not talking about this church or any particular local church, but in general, the church in general has moved further and further away in disobedience to God and His word. Of course, throughout the history, there were many godly men and women also were there, which I am not ignoring that fact. This is what happened to the people of Israel. The subject of Isaiah at the very beginning itself is to very, very disheartening and sorrowful beginning, if you look at it that way. So we will look at just a few verses only. But before we get to the verse, I want to give you a very brief introduction about the book itself. It's very interesting to see what the Lord is bringing to us in this book. Isaiah, the writer, is generally considered as a poet, while Jeremiah, the next one, is generally considered as a preacher. Their style and approach is very different. So Isaiah is generally speaking, considered to be a prophet. The word Isaiah means salvation of Jehovah. That also is very evident throughout the book. When you just read through the book of Isaiah, we can see that Isaiah is talking about salvation multiple times. Chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, we read like this. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. So in that verse alone, he repeats that statement more than once. In chapter 52 and verse 7, when we go to it, we see how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. So Isaiah's writing in his mind, just as his name means, salvation is a major theme. Well, not all the names and meanings are necessarily reflect the character and behavior of people. I have known a young man who was called godly. To my knowledge, he was the most ungodly person in his behavior. So just because you have a name, probably don't matter in all the, in all cases. But at least in Isaiah's case, it was very true. He emphasized his theme of salvation throughout when he spoke. In chapter 49, verse 26, and chapter 60 and 16, we also read that I, the Lord, am my Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So he emphasizes that theme throughout this book. Just a few more things about the book itself. We find some very, very solid, emphatic statements in chapter 45, verse 21. There is no God else beside me. This is a strong statement God himself making. And then we read also in the scripture, sometimes of God, the Spirit of God will emphasize by repeating or re-emphasizing certain statements. In that same verse, he a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. When the scripture emphasizes something or repeats some statements, we better take it seriously. There is no God beside me. Beloved, we have come around him this morning to worship, to remember him, to know that our God, and there is none beside him. Don't let take anything take his place. There is no God beside me. This book has been identified, generally speaking, by various people considered to be the gospel according to Isaiah. Very, very clearly mentioned in that way. This is this book is also called the Old Testament Evangelist. Isaiah is known as the Old Testament Evangelist. Isaiah is considered the whole book is considered, if you look at it, it has 66 chapters. The whole book is considered as a miniature Bible. Just like our whole Bible has 66 books and we have 66 chapters. The first 39 books are talking about the Old Testament saints, like 39 books of the Old Testament. The last 27 chapters is talking primarily looking forward to the New Testament. Lo and behold, in the middle of that 27 chapters, comes chapter 53, where Isaiah brings in the sufferings of Messiah. So the book of Isaiah is a very, very different and interesting book in many ways. Isaiah's personal information, we have very little we know about him. With the exception, in two chapters, in chapter 7 verse 3 and chapter 8 verse 3, we read about that he had two sons. That means apparently he was married and he had two sons. That's all that is being spoken about him. Such a man who has been used to write a book like this, very little is known about him. Sometimes people lift up themselves to a level they really don't need to be lifted up. So, we will come to the first 10 verses we will read together. I like to read the passage where we are going to speak whenever I speak. Chapter 1 of Isaiah, verse 1 through verse 10. Lord willing, we look at verse 11 through the following passages, Lord, another time. But for this morning, we will only look at those 10 verses. Listen very carefully. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heaven, and hear, give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass knows his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and petrifying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts has leapt unto us, a very small remnant. Except the Lord of hosts has left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. And verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto law of God, you people of Gomorrah. Well, I don't have to remind you about the Sodom and Gomorrah story. We learned that in our Sunday school time on about Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened to them? Their behavior, why that has happened. And then we will briefly look at the way these verses that we read together. If you look at Isaiah, he is well qualified to be a prophet, because in Numbers 12 verse 6, there is a qualification we can see about prophets. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak to him in dream. So what he has written is from the Lord himself. The Lord himself considered Isaiah to be a prophet, and therefore he gave these visions to him. If you noticed, well, we didn't read the whole chapter. If you read the whole chapter, God speaks 5 times in chapter 1. God speaks 5 times out of 31 verses. That is not very common in other parts of the scripture. Verse 2, verse 10, verse 18 and 20 and 24, God is speaking. Now, verse 2 has the very fearful statement, the Lord hath spoken, pointing out Israel's sin. When God speaks to us about our sin, we better pay attention. It is not the elders are speaking. It is not your husband or wife or your children or a friend or co-worker or someone, your neighbor. It's not them speaking about your sin. God is speaking about sin. You and I better pay attention. God, in this passage, the Lord takes it to very extreme to get the attention. He says, hear, O heavens, and give, O earth. When I was growing up, there was a song written quoting exact this verse in Malayalam. I won't sing it because Arturo has to translate this into Spanish. He's sitting back there for Spanish translation. Some of you might have heard this one. I'll give you the first line. Agashame kelka bhoomi chividariya. Have you heard that? Those of you who knows Malayalam? This is exact quotation of that verse. I was amazed when I was looking at that passage. Lord is using and calling out on his own creation, both the heaven and the earth. And the next verse, he is calling out the animals. Comparing it to the animals and say, please listen, you are my witnesses. We will look at three particular words from this passage. We will close. God is calling his own creation as a witness against Israel. That is really a serious matter. Because why did he turn to his own creation, the heaven and the earth and the animals? They listen to him, they obey him, and they follow him, every animals he created. Then he says, not my people. That is one of the most worst comparison that you can get to. We have children. You know who has children. Or you may be a child for someone. Just think of your children rebelling against you. That's what God is saying here. I have brought these people from childhood But they have rebelled against me. Oh, heaven and earth, please listen as a witness. But they have rebelled and disobeyed against me. The people does not consider. The animals, they do consider. They know their owner. They know the ass knows its crib. And they know their owner and master. They obey them. They follow them. They do what they're telling them to do. But not my people. This is the history of God's people at that time. Now we will come to some applications in a moment. Just imagine that your children rebelled against you, whom you have brought up with the pain and suffering from childhood on. Or you may know someone or a family or a relative whose children rebelled against the parents. And rebellion is not necessarily always about doing something really bad. On the biblical sense, rebellion can be you bring up your children in the spiritual nourishment and the knowledge of God and they will walk away from it. I call it rebellion. Disobedience to God's word. Disobedience to parents. And they rebelled against them. I don't know how that can be interpreted deeply into the heart of every one of us who are parents if that happens to us. Someone who paid so much attention to, someone you invested all your life, bring them up from the childhood to a certain level and they rebelled against the parents. Oh, now you may be thinking, oh, I am such a nice person, I never rebelled. But you are. You did. You will at some point in your life. My people does not consider what? Now this is now talking about the whole nation of Israel. I know you understand that part. But it is very true in the New Testament church today. That's why I said that at the very beginning. The church as a whole for the last 2000 years have gone and moved away further and further away simply to satisfy the emotions of human mankind, far, far away from God's word. And it is not getting any better. I have not seen any change in that direction in which the church is moving. I don't see any turnaround or coming back. Yes, there are people, godly ones. Yes, there may be groups of people here and there, pockets. But I'm talking as a whole. Ever since, there has not been a recovery of that movement that is moving away from God. But in the case of church, viewed as a collective body, failure had come in almost every stage of last 2000 years, from the very beginning. Now, there are three things before with the time that we have. God is reminding them about his care, God's claims, and God's character. Those three things are brought to the attention of Israel here. One is God's care. He said, I have heaven, O heaven, I will give O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. You and I know that God, when he brought the children of Israel from Egypt through 40 years through the wilderness and many years thereafter, the Lord has brought them up just like a little baby for the needs of them, providing them, protecting them, and brought them up. Now, God says, they don't recognize my care anymore. Beloved, you and I can fall into this trap very easily. We have been brought much a greater price paid for on our behalf. But we can forget God's care on us. As we walk out of this room, most of us will forget what I am saying today. But we will look at a few more things in a moment. God claims that my creation is obedient to me. They listen to me. They know their honor. They know their crib. And they follow their honor. But my people do not know. They don't accept and follow the claim of God that you belong to them, Him. And God also brings their attention in this passage about God's character. We have been studying about God's names and titles last several months. Have you have any increased knowledge and understanding and conviction of God's character? And that changed you and me. If not, we just wasted our time. Word of God is powerful. And that we should take it very seriously. I nourished and brought up children. And they have rebelled against me. I don't know how much more I can talk about that part. It's a very clear statement. All this what God is talking, people of Israel said, this, that meant nothing to them, says the Lord. This is the most prevalent problem today among Christian church as a whole, local churches in different locations, and individual Christian believers. And the problem is, when you go to that level, you don't even know that you're rebelling. You become numb. Sensitivity disappears. Therefore, God takes it to an extreme comparison to the animals that He created. And the first, that is the care that God is giving, and people are, ignoring it. And then He makes a claim against them. His claims are not important to them. That means nothing to them. The ox knows the honor and they ask his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider. Or in other words, in modern language, you can say, my people, they don't care. I don't know how serious you take this when God is speaking, taking your life or my life and comparing. Look at my animals. They listen to me. They obey me. They follow me. But you don't. And then you don't even know that you don't. Animals knows their owner. They are very much aware of their owner. Do we know that God is your owner? When you walk out of here, do you consider that God is, I am owned by God. He is my owner. If He is my owner, He is your owner, ignoring the character of God is the most dangerous problem in your life. Which we can, we saw that briefly about in from chapter 6 2 weeks ago. Then He says, my claims, you don't care. My care for you, you don't care. My character, you don't care. Means nothing to you, people of Israel. Ignoring the character of God is the most dangerous problem with Christians today. Ignoring the character of God is the most problem among Christians today, including me. We've been studying, Brother Alex has been taking biblical spirituality. He brought many numerous examples. I hope it is not just filling up the brain. Years ago, I heard a story of a little girl praying. You may have heard this before. I'm going to repeat it anyway. And she just prayed, went to her room and prayed, Lord, 1 foot down. And the next day, she prayed the same thing. For several days, she was praying, Lord, 1 foot down. So her parents were listening. And they don't know what she is praying for. And one day the parents came to the girl and asked, why are you praying 1 foot down? And she just said, my parents, both of you, has a lot of knowledge built up here. I'm praying that knowledge will come 1 foot down in your heart. We have no lack of teaching here on this pulpit. If there is any church, I'm making a boastful claim here. may not be always true, but there is at least I should say there is enough teaching from this pulpit. Is it all built up here, or should we pray for you to bring that down one foot? I hope that is not true. It is up here. And I have another example comes to my mind. We know our time is going fast. Then the Lord says, comes to the people of God and say, why are you so stricken? Look at verse 5. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. Lord is coming to them and asking them a question. Why do you have to be in this condition in which you are? Because of your choice. The whole heart faint. Sin had invaded the seat of their affection and destroyed their love for God. Let me repeat that. Sin had invaded the seat of their affection and destroyed the love for God. God's care. They said, no, that's nothing for us. God made a claim against them that I am your owner. You own me. I own you. They said, we don't consider. God revealed his character of love and following them even in their heart situation, revealing his character. And the people of God said, no, it's okay. It didn't get to their heart. It was only up in the brain. I hope I'm going to give you some extra time back this morning, which I will take it again next time. I hope that you and I take God's care very seriously. I hope you and I will take God's claim about your life very seriously. And I hope that you will take God's character taken very seriously in your life. Not only as individuals, as a church as a whole, we must never be in a situation the Lord has to come and call and say, oh, heaven and earth, please look at Edmunds Lane Bible Chapel. That is my prayer for you. That's my prayer for myself. God still cares for you. He still loves. He's not like you and me. He's not a man. If I was in his position, I would have given up a long time ago. My God is a faithful God and loving, long-suffering, forgiving, forgetting, caring, loving God. To know that I am owned by him. To know that he is my owner. I hope it will soften your heart and my heart. My prayer for you and me this morning is that as well as to all of us, that we take seriously these allegations of God himself about Israel, which indirectly brings to you and me, and more seriously about the Church of God itself. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come to thy presence this morning for the reminders of the Word of God. Through thy servant Isaiah, we can easily blame Israel. But if we take honest enough and take a look at our own hearts, we are not any better than them. O God, our Father, we pray that you may convict my heart and every one of ours. Our disobedience, our sin, our lack of taking things into serious. We pray for blessing upon the heart of each one who are here this morning. Pray thy blessing upon the rest of the meeting. We pray for your care in the days to come. And until we come back around the word of God again, we give you thanks. Thank you for hearing your prayers in the name of our Holy Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, please take 5 minutes break. Don't go there and start a conversation. You can make a phone call and get all that, you know, family informations later. We need 5 minutes quick break, bathroom break, come back here. We have to have a meeting. Without you, we cannot start, even start. If you are not seated, we are not starting. So I want to see all these people seated where you are. Come back in 5 minutes. If you don't have to go, just stay where you are. Please come back.